the best you can buy.
Quaking in Northern California kind of rocked the house a bit, so I'll tell you what I know about that. 6.5. Speaking of rocking the house, the Republicans say Majority Leader Harry Reid should just step away and pay for his comments about President Barack Obama. We'll rewind and take you back to what all that means. And more importantly, there was great football over the weekend. Oh, I was glued. Well, I shouldn't say there's great football. There was football over the weekend, so I was glued to the tube. Ed Berliner joins us right from the get-go here with me, Kate Delaney, on America Tonight. Who better to have on? I love this guy's style. He's with Speeding Bullet Media, and you can catch him Huffington Post. Click on the sports. He's a columnist with them, an Examiner. All kinds of good stuff coming out of or going around in Ed's world, I think. Hey, Ed, how are you?
Excellent, and I should point out, too, that if we're stepping away from things this evening, let us tell Chad Ochocinco to please step away from the microphone forever.
No kidding. Well, so how about the Jets, Jets, Jets? We'll start there. Beating Cincinnati, and what is the deal with Ochocinco? You're right. He needs to just step away.
Chad remains to me, and I've said this for a long time, one of the most overrated, slightly above average receivers in the National Football League. There's no doubt the guy has talent, but his mouth runs a whole lot more than his body can cash the check. He's a good receiver, he's not a great one, and he completely disintegrated in the game. Look, it's a very simple thing about great athletes. When you need the great ones show up. Chad Ochocinco is not a great receiver. He's a good one. He hasn't shown up. Now, he didn't show up last week, and he didn't show up again this week against the same team.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who makes a big stink about driving into the stadium in his brand-new 18-wheeler, his cab over. I don't know if you saw it or not, but they featured this in the game that he drives in his brand-new truck. I'll tell you what, he needed that truck to leave the stadium in because it was the only thing that would stop the brickbats from hitting him. He had that much protection to get out of the stadium. He's part of the problem, but the bigger issue in this game is the Jets. When I first saw Mark Sanchez, I knew this kid was going to be something special. I said this, and then, of course, when the Jets had their downside, New York fans are the absolute best and are the absolute worst when it comes to getting down on somebody. Oh, he stinks. He's never going to be the great quarterback that he could be. And I heard somebody use the names Sanchez and Namath in the same sentence, and I had to slap them very quickly. I said, let's stop right here. He's a good quarterback. He needs time. And that's what he finally got. They got a very different running game. They got a very different tight end in this one. Dustin Keller had a great game. Simply put, the Jets, right now, in my opinion, are a team that's got to be reckoned with in the AFC. I think they're just young enough and they're peaking just at the right time where they could be dangerous come the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Ed, too. And how about the Dallas Cowboys? All of them are healthy. That was the good thing about this squad. Going up against Philadelphia, a lot of sports writers talking about, three times, trying to beat a team three times, even though you pounded them the week before. Impossible. Well, I knew the Eagles were going to lose. I just thought it'd be more of a game. So Dallas comes through 34-14, the final score in the end. How far do you think the boys go? Do you think they're for real?
Well, let me start out by saying that in an Examiner column a couple of months ago, I called the Dallas Cowboys the most embarrassing franchise in the National Football League. And I stood by that right up until yesterday and right before the game, and I'll tell you why. With a team that has this much money, this much wherewithal, the ability to get the best people in, and the absolute pathetic nature of the Cowboys over the last 10 years, this is an embarrassing franchise. Now, somebody said, what about the Washington Redskins? I said, wait a minute. They got a guy named Danny who owns the franchise,
yeah,
who still seems to think that he can be an owner. He's just a very bad owner, a very bad businessman when it comes to football.
Mm-hmm.
That's not embarrassing. When you've got Jerry Jones sitting there who knows the game, who knows good talent, and he makes some of the absolute worst hires in the last few years of personnel, it's embarrassing, especially when you have that kind of a fan base. So I stood by that. Finally, the Cowboys proved they are not embarrassing. Romo played a good game. The defense was tremendous.
Great, yeah.
But also a good part of this is the Philadelphia Eagles are now finishing out another season where they made more mistakes than anybody could have made whose name isn't Harry Reid. I just had to put that in. I had to get that in one shot, seeing as you started the show off with that. But the Eagles made tremendous amounts of mistakes this year. Andy Reid did a terrible job play calling. The Michael Vick thing never made any sense. It was nothing more than just a foolish thing to do in the first place to destroy, potentially destroy a team's chemistry. They had injuries. Things happen. Oh, it's terrible what's gone on in Philadelphia. Now we're going to find out if Andy Reid's going to suck it up and take the blame, or if he's going to try to throw it off on Donovan McNabb. The Eagles were lucky to get to where they were at this point, and we finally saw the kind of team that they were when Dallas took them apart. The Cowboys are a frightening team right now, but we still haven't seen. Let's stop for a second here. We still haven't seen the New Orleans Saints play in this second season, and that's a track team. That's a very well-put-together team. And don't ever turn out the Indianapolis Colts. So we still haven't seen those two, but right now, boy, I tell you, I am so impressed with the Jets and the Cowboys.
Yeah, so am I. I agree with you. We're up against, we have a couple of minutes left, but how about the Ravens? A kid that I saw play in college at Rutgers, Ray Rice, I knew he was going to be a stud, and he has been for Baltimore. Baltimore, it was their game all the way along against the Patriots.
We have now seen the final collapse of the New England Patriots' so-called dynasty years. It's been coming for a couple of seasons now. I cover this team for a few years. I have seen them play before. I have watched what's happened here. It's a very good team, but Brady's not getting any younger. They got rid of a number of players with the heart of their defense, the heart of their offense, and finally, it's been put to rest now. The Patriots are going to have to be remade from the bottom up. Ray Lewis still is one of the best defensive players in the game today. Mm-hmm. And what do you say about a quarterback who only throws a few times and they still dominate the Patriots? Mm-hmm. Patriots are done. They have to restart all over again. And I imagine that you're now going to go to the last game today.
Oh, finally, overtime game. At least it was a little bit thrilling. I loved the end of this game, but Arizona, they had the heart.
I stopped being a commentator and a sports writer on this about halfway through the third quarter. I completely stopped. I had to be a fan watching this game.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the mistakes that the defenses were making was incredible. It was, and I have to tell you this much, one of the best lines I've heard throughout the entire NFL season. I was sitting in an adult drinking establishment. Can you say bar on the radio? I think
you can.
And I heard, and when the field goal late in the fourth quarter that would have won it for the Cardinals missed, I heard somebody yell, "That thing was farther and wider left than Pelosi and Obama combined." It was the best line I've heard. But just to, and not even trying to be different on politics here, but what happened there was Arizona is once again a team that is led by one of the great emotional leaders of this game, Kurt Warner.
Mm-hmm.
And before this game, they found out that he may very well retire at the end of this season. That is going to go a long way towards making this team even better come the next step. And a terribly entertaining game. I got to tell you, as I said, I love the Jets. I love the Cowboys and what they've done. But you got to wait until we see the Saints and the Colts.
Absolutely. Ed, as always, it's fun to have you on the show. Thanks so much. We'll catch your stuff, Examiner, Huffington Post. We appreciate it.
We'll talk some more football as we head towards Miami.
Excellent. Excellent. It's always fun to get Ed on the show and toss it around. And I agree with him. Let's see what happens with the Saints. I'm real curious about Drew Brees and their defense. And then also, too, the Colts, of course, with Peyton Manning, who was the MVP this past season. Did anybody nail the score? We'll tell you a little bit later on the show. Stay with us.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
America tonight. In case you haven't heard this, maybe you were buried under a foot of snow, or perhaps you were digging out with some of the dishes falling down on top of you in Northern California. Nobody was hurt, by the way. 6.5, never good because it rattles your nerves if you ever have lived in California. But speaking of rattling your nerves, how about this story that broke on Senator Harry Reid, who's definitely, to me, is now practically a long shot if he doesn't step away and decides, insists that he's going to run again, you know, continue to try to hold on to his seat in Nevada, because the polls, I've been saying this for the past 5 months, he just gets lower and lower in the polls, and now this will probably hurt him even more. Well, check this out. In a new book, it's like unbelievable what he said. I have to like regroup when I think about it. Like, are you kidding me? If I was somebody around him, one of his aides, I don't even know how I'd react to this. Like, could you run this by me? So anyway, in a private conversation, it's been reported in a new book, Harry Reid described Obama during the 2008 presidential campaign as a light-skinned African-American with no Negro dialect unless he wanted to have one. So, of course, now that that's out, it's all over the place. And far and wide, right and left and everywhere in between, there's been reaction to it. The book is called Game Change, and it's Time Magazine's Mark Halperin, who's a great writer, and New York Magazine's John Heilman, who reported that Reid was wowed by Obama's gifts and believed that the country was ready to embrace a black presidential candidate, especially one like Obama, a light-skinned African-American with no Negro dialect, as I just said, unless he wanted to have one. That's what he said later. So this, what the book is about, it's a lot of the behind-the-scenes look at the campaign that elevated Obama to the White House, and it's really based on the writer's interviews with, like, 200 sources. So one of them is Reid, and this got reported in the book, and now it's out there, and people are aware of it, political people, the American people, et cetera, voters, you know, on and on. So the scoop is, you've got a lot of Democrats defending Harry Reid, yet Harry Reid, of course, apologizing and saying, you know, that he didn't basically mean any disrespect by what he said. Then you have others saying he is completely out of touch with blacks just in general. So Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California was on one of the Sunday shows, Face the Nation, and this is how she reacted to Harry Reid's comments and then the apology.
I don't think so. First of all of us are imperfect. Clearly, this was a mistake. Clearly, the leader misspoke. He has also apologized. He's not only apologized to the president, I think he's apologized to all of the black leadership that he could reach. So the president has accepted the apology, and it would seem to me that the matter should be closed. Well, let me respond to that. In the first place, when Trent Lott had a somewhat similar situation, I saw no Democrats jumping out there and condemning Senator Lott. I know Senator Lott. I happen to be very fond of him, and he made a mistake. There was no question about that, and he apologized for it. So I know of no statement by any Democratic senator criticizing Senator Lott.
All right, so again, the Republicans say that Reid should pay, that he's a racist, he's a stinking racist, and he should step aside, that he should leave for his comments, his offensive comments that he made about President Obama to these writers that they quoted in their book that is now released. Here's a Republican's reaction. Then we're going to get the party chair, too. But here's what Congressman Pete Hoekstra, a Republican from Michigan, here's what he had to say about Reid.
I think that clearly this is going to be an issue that the Democrats are going to have to deal with internally as to whether these kinds of statements, they believe these kinds of statements are appropriate from their leader in the Senate. And then it becomes a personal issue for Senator Reid. Does he believe that with this on his record, he should still maintain his position as the leader in the Senate? It is a Democrat issue. It is a personal issue. Republicans ought to stand on the sidelines and let the Democrats work through this process.
All right, so Hoekstra says we should just stay to the side, let them work it out. It's a personal thing, and he should decide. But a lot of people are calling for Reid to resign. I already told you he's down in the polls as far as re-election is concerned. But from what I understand, he's pretty much standing firm. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, if you want to throw in your 2 cents, should he step aside? And do you think these were particularly harsh words that Reid used, or maybe they were twisted in a different way? Here's what the Republican Party chairman said, Michael Steele, as his reaction to the comments made by Reid.
Oh, yeah, there's a big double standard here. And the thing about it that's interesting is that when Democrats get caught saying racist things, an apology is enough. If that had been Mitch McConnell saying that about an African-American candidate for president of the United States, trust me, this chairman and the DNC would be screaming for its head, very much as they were with Trent Lott. And the reality of it is racism and racist conversations have no place today in America. This term, this like he's going to pass, for example, for white America because he's got this Negro dialect that he can turn on or turn off, and he's light skinned. That's anachronistic language. It harkens back to the 1950s and 60s, and it confirms to me a mindset that is out of step with where America is today. But I can assure you that if I had, as national chairman, said that, well, it's all behind us and he's apologized, let's move on, no one would be accepting that. There has to be a consequence here if the standard is the one that was set in 2002 with Trent Lott.
All right, and so, again, for the record, from what I know in texting back and forth with somebody connected to Reid's re-election campaign, he's not stepping down as of right now. That he's absolutely running. This is what I got. He is absolutely running for re-election, period, end of story, and they're not saying much more than that. So you listen to what the GOP chairman has to say, Steele, saying he's out of touch basically with America and how African Americans generally feel about issues, and talking about the term Negro because that was what Reid said. And then he gets caught up in his own language in a reference to the Indian people, to Native Americans. And here's what he said, because, of course, he had to apologize.
One of the best political documents that's been written in the last 25 years. Honest engine on that. That's a racial slur.
Well, if it is, I apologize for it. It's not an intent to be a racial slur. I wasn't intending to say a racial slur at all. The reality of it is, that's not the same as what we were talking about before. That's not saying I'm some loose cannon and wild, you know, dog out here running around not being able to be controlled. The reality of it is, I'm trying to push our party to take its head and lift it up, point to the future, and move forward.
All right, so it's like, you know, the whole remark about watch where you throw those stones and glass houses and whatever as kind of a backtrack to Steele there. However, there is something to be said for Reid's comments, and it's interesting. I think Reid has bungled. He's kind of been the water boy, if you will, for the administration on health care reform as he took over for Max Baucus, where he left off, basically. But, come on. The comments that he made, you know what he was referring to, but even in the over-the-top PC world, just the way he said it, he just should have known that this was going to put him right in there. So he apologized over and over, and apparently the White House says, you know, they've accepted the apology. But can he move on from that, or will this just completely cripple him when you look at where he is anyway in the polls? Because before his remarks in the book were reported, a new survey released just over the weekend by the local newspaper there, it's called the Las Vegas Review-Journal, showed him continuing to go down in the polls. In the poll, was done by Mason Dixon, polling and research. He trailed former state Republican Party chair Sue Loudon by 10 percentage points. And this is a guy who's been there over and over and over again, obviously, 50% to 40%. And then also behind two other opponents. More than half of Nevadans had an unfavorable opinion of Reid. So just 33% felt positive about him, and I think this is a killer for him. And then, of course, you look at how the districts are broken up. I think he'll have a tough time, but again, he's hanging in there. He says he's going to stay in the race. 800-259-5791. We'll talk about that and other things on the flip side.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello. At ofthefield.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on ofthefield.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the Wild Food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area, because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Are you waking up at night for bathroom trips? I'm Jonathan Greenhut, president of New Vitality. This year, we sent out thousands of free bottles of Beta Prostate, the natural supplement for men. But some of you still haven't called for your free bottle. As we go into the new year, make the resolution to support your prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including sleeping habits and even intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. This free offer is for a limited time, and once it's gone, it's gone. Start the year right. Dial 1-800-257-7201. One free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Dial 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams.
Ridiculous of all. This might be the blunder of the day. How about a senator from Nebraska, Nelson, Ben Nelson, who wants Medicaid deals for all the states? Yeah, because everybody, like, threw eggs at him. Because he got the deal for his state, and then everybody realized, oh, that's why suddenly he's voting for health care reform. Now he wants to make it good for everybody across the board. Oh, no, 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 no. Let's make this for everybody. Whatever, Senator Ben. It's too late. Go back to the cornfields. Go back to Nebraska and the Runza huts, because it's too late. You got your deal, and now everybody else doesn't get theirs, and at the cost of the taxpayers, we'll have to foot the bill for the lovely people in Nebraska, which I lived in Nebraska for 7 months. The people are great. But he got his special deal, got his piece of the pie, and now he doesn't like the reaction in some corners of the world to what happened and how it was reported, and he wants to come out smelling like a rose, but it's too late for that because the rose has wilted. But he's certainly not the only one with deals. You know, the bill is loaded with deals. His just happened to become very public because he was a key, turned out to be a key vote, and he switched his vote. So speaking of voting, now Harry Reid, as he's worrying about votes and adding up votes and what's going to happen in healthcare reform, he's in the middle of a controversy that he created himself by some comments that he made to two high-profile reporters who wrote a book about Obama while he was on the campaign trail that is now just coming out. And, you know, it's a dangerous choice, a poor choice, and a dangerous choice of words, what he used in the first place. So I'm surprised that he strung them together that way. And, of course, they were inappropriate, and everybody's reacting that they were inappropriate, but is it enough to completely sink his ship is the thing. If it's just about getting him out, I think he's already pretty much almost out anyway. But this should top it, even though he can keep reading if he wants to, but it doesn't matter. Now, the Trent Lott reference, for everybody who forgets, if you remember that with Trent Lott, remember the birthday celebration for Senator Thurmond, of course, of South Carolina? And what happened was Lott was speaking at a birthday celebration for the senator, the longtime senator from South Carolina, and Lott said that the nation would have been better off if Thurmond had won the presidency in 1948. Of course, Thurmond was a segregationist and the Democratic governor of South Carolina when he started his third-party campaign. So then there were people that were calling for Lott to step down as the Republican leader. He resigned as the Senate leader about a week after that, and then he resigned from the Senate in 2007. So it's interesting when you have the Democrats pointing to Lott and you see what the rippling effects also became for him for the comment that he ultimately, you know, that he made. So I think that comparison is kind of bogus. There was more reaction, of course, to Reid. That was the big thing on this, what I call the Sunday swirl, the talking heads, whether it was Face the Nation or This Week, of course, on ABC or NBC's Meet the Press. Everybody was reacting pretty much to the comments. And Liz Cheney is lately has been one of the favorite guests, I think, on the roundtables, especially with ABC. So Liz Cheney and George Will kind of went at it from two different approaches. Cheney, of course, saying it was racist and ridiculous, and George Will had a different take. And here's the little back and forth.
Can I just point out that I think one of the things that makes the American people frustrated is when they see time and time again liberals excusing racism from other liberals. And I think that, you know, clearly Senator Reid's comments were outrageous. And the notion that they're being excused,
but in the
sort
private
of
conversation
turning,
that he thought was off the record.
I don't think racism is okay, George, whether you're saying it in private or in public. And the excuse of it by liberals, you know, is really inexcusable. But I do think, frankly, you know, he's given the voters of Nevada yet one more reason to oust him this next time around, and I suspect that's what they'll
George,
do.
You're shaking your head.
I don't think there's a scintilla of racism in what Harry Reid said. At long last, Harry Reid has said something that no one can disagree with, and he gets in trouble for it.
George, give me a break. I mean, talking about the color of the president's skin
did he get
as
it wrong?
A candidate.
Did he say anything false?
These are clearly racist comments,
oh,
George.
Oh, my, no.
All right, so Harry Reid, as I already mentioned, low in the polls. What do you think happens with Harry Reid? Stands his ground and keeps trying to have the rudder cut through the rough waters or eventually slurks away? You can throw in your two on this at 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Interesting thing, too, about this book, Game Change, that came out. They did an interview, or they talked about it, on 60 Minutes, an interview with the authors, but nothing came out about the Harry Reid Negro comment. That didn't even come up in the interview. That's interesting, because in the book, things that were pulled out, it's Hillary wanting the staff to push Obama's drug allegations, and there were things about Elizabeth and John Edwards, and a couple of interesting, in especially in the book, in an excerpt from the book Game Change, in the authors talk about that triangle, and talk about the fact that Elizabeth had this virtuous image, but that it was really actually a mirage, that really wasn't true. And so this book is riddled with just their, think of all the time on the campaign trail, riddled with all the rumors and things that happened and what they could find out from sources, like they say, 200 sources. So what you have with John Edwards and Elizabeth Edwards was a political machine to deal with allegation situations, whatever, all that kind of stuff. But that's not surprising to me because it seems like, excuse me, every couple involved in politics, that's what it is. You have a certain role to play and you do the dance and hopefully, they hope you do it well so that whatever's you would try to cover up or whatever's going on never quite gets out there until it's too late. But the book, I would think, would probably ruffle some more feathers, but thanks to the Harry Reid comments, that seems to be the most controversial of anything to come out of that book, at least now. So there are people calling for Reid to step down, and I don't think he'll step down. But will he be reelected? It's not looking like that anyway. It's not looking like that's a real, real super good possibility. Hey, you can send me your thoughts on anything, by the way, that we talk about in this Hour of America Tonight or anything else that we hit on at americatonight.net. Because I have family in Florida, in Orlando, and in Tampa. I was talking to them today about just how cold it is. And the overnight lows, like right now in Orlando, 25 degrees. And I know I've mentioned this before that I've seen the groves just recently. All of the, you know, where the big chunk of our orange juice anyway comes from, whether it's Florida or, of course, you do have California, but Florida, a big chunk of it does. They're saying now that the freeze in that state is the worst since 1989. You start to get into the 20s and forget about it. So expect, if you're a big orange juice drinker, expect to pay a premium for that, unless you have your own private orange tree in the backyard or you like the frozen kind and you have a whole bunch of it on hand, because this freeze is now going into, what, the second week. And with those kind of temperatures, a lot of those crops, it's just going to be impossible to save them. We're going to zig and zag all over the place. You know that we do it. Water cooler at its best, I like to say. We start off the show and dive into the playoffs. But we didn't tell you whether somebody nailed the score or not. We'll do that in our next hour. Did anybody get the exact score of the Ravens-Patriots game? A lot of people picked the Patriots to win it, and right in the beginning, right in the first quarter, it was just had blowout written all over it, and it was a rough day for Patriot fans, but we'll dive into that again in our next hour. In the meantime, a couple of other interesting things have happened besides the Harry Reid nonsense, including the fact that Venezuela says its jets intercepted a U.S. plane. What is going on with the butcher Chavez? First, he orders currency devaluation by 50% in Venezuela. Then he's talking about seizing businesses that raise prices. And then in the meantime, this whole deal about jets and the fact that the president ordered two F-16s to intercept a military plane that he's saying violated Venezuelan airspace on Friday. He says it's the latest provocation in South America's skies. And he had a photo of the plane, because, you know, he controls the media, of course, in Venezuela. It's all Chavez all the time. And he talked about, he described it as a P-3. He said the overflight was the latest incursion in the skies across that country by the military, the United States military, from its bases on the Netherlands Caribbean islands and from neighboring Colombia. Of course, the U.S. Defense Department or the White House, really, they've had no reaction to what Chavez is claiming. And then, in the same breath, he turned around. I don't think he even took a breath. I just mentioned this. He announced a currency devaluation for the first time since 2005. He says the currency, which is the Bolivar, will now have two government-set rates depending on the use, either 260 to the dollar for transactions called priorities by the government or 430 to the dollar for other transactions. Ooh. Obviously, he's threatened by the United States, but what's new there in that backyard? Stay with us. Mm-hmm.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Wow! All I can say is wow! Times are changing fast. Scary needles. Laws changing until pretty soon. It'll be against the law to grow a tomato plant. How does this fit into healthcare? I'm not sure, but I am sure that Life Change Tea will give attention to your health. Good health. Join the many that have made the change just by drinking our all-natural tea. Lose weight, detoxify, and get energy. Call now at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. It doesn't come any easier. Getthetea.com. Oh, yeah, and right now is our semi-annual special underway. It won't last long, so order now while you still can. Order at getthetea.com.
This guy's driving through one of those safari parks, and it's in a Jeep. A chicken jumps up on the car roof. Okay. And now watch what the tiger does there when he spots the chicken. It's a little disturbing, but follow me. Okay, take a look. Roll the spot. Here you go. Okay. There's the chicken sitting up there. Okay. Okay, now watch. The tiger sees it, jumps up, grabs the chicken. But here's the amazing. Now watch this. Watch what the tiger does with the chicken. He's got the chicken in his jaws there. Okay, jumps down. Now watch what the tiger does here. This is unbelievable. Look, he puts the chicken down. Take a look. Now, look at this. Now, he breads the chicken.
Now,
he puts it in the deep fryer.
All right, this is a bit of Leno. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hanging out with you coast to coast and everywhere in between. Doctor, tell me the news. Say it ain't so. 10 p.m. a failure for Jay Leno, for that show anyway. So what do the idiots at NBC do? They mess with Conan O'Brien and Jimmy Fallon as well in trying to decide where are they going to go with this thing. It started to leak out. In fact, I think the scumarazzi internet rag TMZ, boy, they seem to get the information, though, don't they? They were the first ones to leak it out, and now NBC had no choice but to admit it. The Jay Leno show, which, of course, is 10 p.m. Eastern, is going to end February 12th, beginning with the Winter Olympics. And then he's going to return to his former 11:30 p.m. slot after the Olympics wrap up. Then they're saying that Conan O'Brien would stay with his job with Tonight, but it would be later at 12:05. So what? Jay Leno's coming on for a half an hour with his warm-up act at and then Jimmy Fallon does late night. He gets pushed back a half hour. He's at 105. And, of course, the other two people in this, especially Conan and Jimmy, they haven't really said what their take is on all of it. I would think if they wanted an opening, if Fox wanted to snap up Conan O'Brien and they wanted to add a show to their lineup, they could certainly do that. And they're talking about what's happened is, or they weren't talking about this, but this is what the reason is. You have all these affiliates across the United States that have NBC programming. They have to take Jay Leno. They would take whatever show would normally have been in there, whatever, usually drama or magazine show, depending on the day of the week. So that's all scrapped. Leno goes in there, and a lot of the local affiliates say it is killing their ratings. So the lead-in is not good from the network, and they've been ringing the phone off the hook at BlackRock, or not BlackRock, over at NBC, and now their hands are tied. They had to do something. And apparently the ratings, you know, when we said the ratings weren't good, I mean, they weren't. About one-third of the affiliates said they were really hurt by the Leno show, and some were saying they were going to preempt the show, which would have been a killer, too. So he's back to the old time slot. It's just a question of what happens with Conan O'Brien. It's weird to start the Tonight Show when it's no longer tonight, isn't it? Actually, if you think about it, if it's after midnight, that sounds a little bit, I don't know, sounds a little bit odd to me. But I think the idea of moving Leno, I know we said it on this show when we talked about entertainment at one point, that moving him to the earlier slot was risky, very, very risky in the first place. And I guess they thought that they were going to make so much money on this because they were going to kill, they weren't going to have to worry about paying an ensemble cast for whatever particular program was on that night, and this was going to be a great way to solve the problem. They were going to save money, but they just didn't count on it. They just didn't count on that people watch cable, that people watch Jon Stewart, they watch Stephen Colbert, the Comedy Network, look at the internet, you know, especially if you're trying to hit a younger generation, a younger audience. So people get used to certain things, and then you snatch it away, and it just bombed. But I'll be curious to see what happens with Conan O'Brien, how he feels about it, if he hangs around. And probably, you know, if there's nothing else down the pike, he probably would, and NBC says they want to hang on to him. But, hey, what if Fox came up with some juicy, juicy offer? I don't know. Do you, Matt, well, you and I talked about this. We thought it was odd in the first place when they made the move.
Yeah, definitely having the early late-night talk show, I guess is what you would call a Jay show. I don't know. And having that on every night, I thought, well, it's 9 o'clock Central for me. That's my time. And I thought that was weird because people are already ingrained in different shows that they watch at those times. They have, I don't even know what Grey's Anatomy or whatever, Lost,
sure,
whatever show it is,
whatever
that's
show
on,
it is
on at
right.
9. You mm-hmm. know, that last hour, it's always an hour kind of a drama show.
Mm-hmm.
And they already have that audience is watching other programming. They're not going to stop watching those shows
right.
so they can watch Jay Leno for the billionth time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of standard. You have your primetime programming and then the late night talk shows after your local news. And I just think it's something that audiences weren't looking for at that time.
Yeah, I agree. I think the competition for the other networks, if I'm at the other networks, of course, I'm thrilled beyond belief because of the bungled, how they botched this and screwed it up to the other affiliates. I'm happy about it since my programming automatically gets a boost as a result. It didn't hurt Letterman, so it was the wrong move in the first place. Then now you have to go backwards. It's very odd.
And I feel really bad for Conan because
he's
waited so long to have the Tonight Show, and because of the poor lead-in with Jay Leno, he didn't get a proper chance, I don't feel, like that other people have had, you know, that Jay Leno had, that Johnny Carson had. He didn't have a proper lead-in, so viewers were already gone by the time the show came on. And that's just, I don't know, I don't think it's fair to him.
I agree. I don't think he got a fair shot at this, and now I think it's a question of, if I were his agent, I'd be shopping him around because he could. Who's to say? Maybe Fox would be interested. Fox had a great year. Maybe they would be interested in you know, landing Conan O'Brien. Who knows?
You go to Fox or maybe ABC, too, because they have the Jimmy Kimmel show, but that's got a later start on it. I don't think that starts until maybe midnight or something like
that. So they could squeeze him in there.
Right after the news. So who knows, but hopefully Conan will come back on top.
Yeah, no kidding. He's the one that gets squeezed for sure. All right, let's go to Sam, who's listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hello. I was reading the New York Daily News recently, and there was a little tidbit that Fox might be interested in Conan O'Brien for a weeknight late night talk show, because the week, on Saturdays they have Wanda Sykes, but they don't have anything late night during the week. So, like you said, I mean, like if Fox had half a brain, I mean.
Sure, because he's already got some juice out there, and so perhaps he would, you know, I don't know. I don't know how his contract reads, though, but depending on that, maybe he could go to Fox.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be, you know, like talking about, you know, talk show wars. I mean, this would be excellent. I mean,
just another somebody else out there, yeah.
Right, you know, I mean, or like your technician said, that means ABC would probably have to either put Nightline on after, if he does go to ABC, would have to go on either after Conan O'Brien, or Conan O'Brien would start at midnight, or you know, or they'd have cancel Nightline altogether.
Yeah,
you know,
it's crazy.
Yeah, well, after all the football we saw today, yeah, it is crazy.
The football over the weekend was crazy nuts. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
And she says, you need a little culture in your life once in a while. She took me to a play last night.
Ooh, what'd you see?
Mamma Mia.
I saw that. That's a musical. Did you like it?
I saw the movie first before I saw the play, and I said, yeah, because I was mouthing all the ABBA songs, because, you know, I was a big fan in the day, and my first rock concert I ever went to see was ABBA. So, you know,
cool.
Yeah, it was, you know, and I felt like Meryl Streep did an okay job in the movie, but the actress who played her in the play did an excellent job.
Yeah, that was a little odd with Meryl Streep, and I think Pierce Brosnan singing was brutal. But concept was interesting.
Yeah, slightly. And I spoke to our favorite rabbi, soon-to-be masters in educational administration person.
And what's shaking in Israel?
Besides Steve saying what's wrong with the Canadians, but that's another story. he was saying that some left-wing Israelis are demonstrating in the West Bank that how dare Bibi okay the building of some more settlements in East Jerusalem, because they said, you know, in order to have peace, you must give them East Jerusalem. So, of course, the right-wing Israelis are saying, no way, Jose.
Yeah, I love that. I love that there's a lot of passion over this, and Netanyahu's not as popular, certainly with some people, as originally was thought. Thanks, Sam. You stay warm. All right, by the way, Leno's show has averaged 5.8 million nightly viewers since its fall debut, about the same number who watched his final Tonight season. Something to think about.